We return now with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for May 12th, Thursday. This is Ruth McCauley. As is our practice, we begin with some of the funeral notices that appear in the Life section of the Decatur Herald and Review. Virginia Heron Jenny Cannon, 85, of Decatur, passed away on Saturday, March 19th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 14th, at First Presbyterian Church, Decatur. Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Homes in Decatur are assisting the family with arrangements. Memorials may be made to the Decatur Park District Foundation. Ernest Utt Sr., 86, of Tuscola, passed away at 5:05 a.m. on Tuesday, May 10th, at his daughter's residence in Tuscola. A graveside service with military rites conducted by the Atwood American Legion will be held at 4 p.m. on Saturday, May 14th, in the Mackville Cemetery in Atwood. Reverend Jerry Connor will officiate. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Carl Hospice. Jeanette Lee Doherty, 78, of Clinton, passed away on Monday, May 9th, at her residence. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. this evening, Thursday, May 12th, at Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur, and 1 hour prior to services on Friday, May 13th, at Clinton United Methodist Church, 308 East Main Street in Clinton, Illinois. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, May 13th, at Clinton United Methodist Church. Burial will be in Memorial Park Cemetery in Clinton. Memorials may be made to the Clinton United Methodist Church, Arthritis Foundation, or the American Heart Association. Dorothy V. King, of 82, of Morrisonville, passed away on Sunday, May 8th, at Meadow Manor Skilled Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Funeral services will be held at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, that's tomorrow, May 13th, at Perfetti Funeral Home in Morrisonville, with Reverend Chad Foster officiating. Burial will follow on Saturday at 10 a.m. at Seidner Cemetery in St. Elmo. Visitation will be held on Friday, that's tomorrow, from 3 p.m. until the time of service at Perfetti Funeral Home in Morrisonville, which, what did I say, is at 6:30. So from 3 to 6:30 tomorrow. Perfetti Funeral Home in Morrisonville is in charge of arrangements. We turn now to the opinion page of the Decatur Herald and Review and read first their opinion as presented in an editorial with the headline, Life Lessons for the Grads of All Ages. This month, thousands of Central Illinois students will graduate, moving from grade school to junior high to high school to college, and from college into the so-called real world. Some adults will graduate too, from one job to another, one family to another, one neighborhood to another, one city to another. Graduation isn't so much a certificate as it is recognition of moving from one step in life to another, taking lessons learned and applying them toward a new opportunity, and is often the case, a new challenge. The key is to not shy away from either the opportunity or the challenge, and instead embrace it, knowing mistakes will be made along the way, but hopefully they are mistakes we learn from. In 2007, Carnegie Mellon University professor Randy Pausch, then dying of cancer, gave a lecture entitled, Really Achieving Your Childhood Dreams. He used personal stories to teach and enforce lessons we can all learn from and utilize. The lecture in its entirety is available on the university's website at www.cs.cmu.edu/tildepausch, PAUSCH, and a number of other locations. Pausch's lessons, highlighted here, recognize the hard work of Central Illinois' newest crop of graduates. So these are some quotes out of his book. We cannot change the cards we are dealt, just how we play the hand. When you do something badly and nobody bothered to tell you, that's a very bad place to be. Your critics are your loved ones telling you they still love you and care. Experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. Brick walls are a chance to show how badly we want something. Brick walls also are there to stop the people who don't want it badly enough. Wait long enough and people will surprise and often impress you. The best way to teach somebody something is to have them think they're learning something else. Help others. Have fun. Decide if you're Tigger or an Eeyore. Never lose the childlike wonder. Loyalty is a two-way street. Ignore everything they say and only pay attention to what they do. Never give up. Hip is short term, earnest is long term. Apologize when you screw up and focus on other people, not on yourself. Don't bail. Anybody can get chewed out. It's the rare person who says, "Oh my God, you were right." When people give you feedback, cherish it and use it. Show gratitude. Be good at something. It makes you valuable. Work hard. Find the best in everybody. And be prepared. Luck is truly where preparation meets opportunity. A lot to consider for sure, and time is on your side. In fact, you have your whole life ahead of you. But for now, we'll just say congratulations and good luck to all of Central Illinois graduates who are about to take that next step. Still on the opinion page is one of the readers of the Decatur Herald and Review, her opinion. It's signed by a Melody Allison of Charleston and carries the headline, "Put the budget blame where it should be." The state and certain corporate interests want everyone to believe that public employees are privileged by having pension plans, that such plans are extravagant and overgenerous. But these claims are false. State employee pensions are not the equivalent of corporate pensions. Most public workers do not get Social Security. This is because some decades ago an agreement was made with the federal government that the state would have its own plan, a pension plan. This is not in addition to Social Security, but instead of Social Security. Even if the state somehow magically or corruptly made pension plans go away, it would have to reinstate Social Security and pay into that. State employees have contributed their legally required share to their pension plan. The state did not. If these pension plans were to be reduced or eliminated, it would be devastating to retirees whose only crime is to get old. Putting the blame for the state's abysmal condition on retirees smacks of ageism. It also smacks of sexism because older women are especially hard hit. throughout their lives. They are in and out of employment more often than men for family care responsibilities. Consequently, these women end up with reduced retirement income. When employed, they are paid 79% of what men are paid, further lowering contributions to pension plans. For these reasons, more retirees will require welfare and other state support or find themselves homeless and/or helpless. Either alternative would be an especially unjust ending for those who spent their lives helping others live full, healthy, productive lives. The current long-standing budget crisis is not caused by public employees or other citizens. It is related to economic devastation caused by corruption and perpetual wars. Put the blame where it is, then deal with that. Whoa. A letter to the editor, signed by Melody Allison in from Charleston. I'm turning now to the Decatur Tribune Online, and I'm going to take a look at Paul Osborne's, the editor's, City Beat column, which carries the headline, More Wolf, McDaniel are running for mayor and council. During a program last week at Muffley School, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf and Councilman Pat McDaniel said they are running for their respective positions in next year's municipal election. Moore Wolf was appointed to the position by her fellow council people following the sudden death last year of Mayor Mike McElroy. I've known Julie for many years and have always appreciated her efforts in the community. I believe she has done a solid job since being appointed by the council to fill the mayor's position. She sees the big picture and is an excellent communicator. Those are critical qualities in serving as the mayor of the city of Decatur. Julie was certainly very supportive of me when I served in that office. As for McDaniel, I wrote several weeks ago that I would be surprised if McDaniel didn't run for re-election. I've known Pat for a long time, and he worked for me as a reporter here at the Tribune for several years before being elected to the council. I don't think there has ever been a councilman who has attended more events, meetings, and city-related activities than Pat. Councilman Jerry Dawson has indicated he will not seek re-election, and Chris Funk, who was appointed to fill Moore Wolf's council position when she became mayor, is expected to seek election in the next municipal election, but that is not yet for certain. The next headline in his column, Study, Illinois First in Number of Gambling-Related Arrests. With the number of gaming sites in Decatur growing by leaps and bounds, I found the recent statistics on gambling addiction of Wallet Hub interesting and alarming. Wallet Hub listed several categories of gambling addiction and the impact on each of the states. Listed as being first in number of gambling-related arrests per capita is Illinois. There is no question that gambling or gaming sites in Decatur and Macon County are everywhere, or so it seems. Why? Because there is a lot of money to be made for businesses that either open a gaming place or use some of the space in a present business to add gaming machines. I don't believe the Decatur City Council had any idea how fast gaming would spread across the community and the amount of money it would generate when the gaming expansion came to them and fees were attached to the machines. In fact, at a council meeting not that long ago, the council discussed raising the per-machine amount operators of the gaming machines would have to pay the city because the city needed and needs more revenue, and that seemed like a great place to generate income. The council backed off the idea when owners and managers of places that have gaming machines showed up during the council meeting and said there was no point in continuing to have the machines if the city was going to take a big chunk of the funds. One of the strongest arguments against gaming machines in a community comes from those who believe cities experience an increase in gambling addiction-related crimes. I guess those who have stood against allowing or expanding gambling on that basis have a position that is supported by the WallHub report data, where our state is number one in that category, as mentioned at the beginning of this column. Next headline in his column, Ed Booth is someone I've always held in high esteem. Attorney Ed Booth will retire next month after practicing law in Decatur for 61 years, including having the Decatur Park District as a client for 35 years. I was pleased to see special attention given to Ed at last week's Decatur Park Board meeting and a special resolution read to honor him for his years of service. I've known Ed for a lot of years. His law office is in the same building as this newspaper, and it's always a treat to see and talk with him when we run into each other in the building. Obviously, Ed represented the Park District when I served as mayor, and I always appreciated his kind demeanor and quality work ethic. Ed's a good person, and my life is enriched by knowing him and witnessing the kind of example he set and will continue to set after his retirement. Ugh, an update here, another headline. Sweeney lawsuit against City of Decatur completes another round. Attorneys representing the City of Decatur filed a motion Friday to ask that the newest version of former Police Chief Brad Sweeney's lawsuit be dismissed. Sweeney was fired by City Manager Tim Gleason, and he had originally sued both Gleason and the City of Decatur. The latest version of the lawsuit is against the City of Decatur only. If this lawsuit is not dismissed and this heads for a jury trial, there is a mixed public opinion as to whether the jury trial will benefit Sweeney or the City of Decatur. Jury trial will benefit Sweeney because if the lawsuit is dismissed, it may be all over for Sweeney. Regardless of the evidence presented, when a former Decatur police chief with 20 years of experience is compared to a fairly new city manager, there will be some sentiment in favor of the fired police chief. I think that is demonstrated in letters to the editor that praise Sweeney and ask the council to fire Gleason. We turn now to the Decatur Tribune's online editions column about upcoming events and meetings. An Olympic adventure will be held at Decatur Christian School's Summer Hop from June 6th through July 1st for ages 3 years old through fourth grade. The program will be held from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. each day and is open to any child in the community. DCS Summer Hop is an opportunity that extends the learning experience of a child past the school year. A curriculum has been designed to include math, science, Bible, art, and more. Field trips and other activities will also be included in the program. For additional information and pricing, call the school's office at 877-576-5636, that was 877-5636, or visit its website at www.decaturchristian.net. Plan to celebrate National Senior Health and Fitness Day at the DISC on Wednesday, May 25th from 8 to 11 a.m. The event is free and will feature health screenings and information courtesy of Decatur Memorial Hospital. There will also be healthy snacks, fitness activities, chair massages, and chances to win door prizes. For more information, call the DISC at 429-3472. That was 429-3472. Career services at Richland Community College takes donations year-round for men's and women's professional attire for students who cannot afford professional attire for job fairs and interviews. Donations may be mailed or dropped off at Richland Community College Career Services in the Student Engagement Office, 1 College Park in Decatur. For pickup, contact Career Services at 217-875-7211, extension 305, or email Joliver, Joliver, at richland.edu. Camp Earth to be presented through MRI Independence Point. 42 special education students with development disabilities, ages 14 through 21, who live in Macon County, will be chosen to participate in a summer camp program that teaches job readiness and horticulture skills to students for 6 weeks. They don't give the dates, but there's a number for more information. Camp Earth will also include fun activities and field trips. For more information, call 428-1052. Let's see. Okay, Aim to Learn with Summer 4-H Shotgun Spin Club. Registration is now open for the 4-H Shotgun Spin Club, provided through the Macon County Office of University of Illinois Extension. Members will learn the principles of shooting, marksmanship, as well as safe and responsible use of firearms from a certified adult instructor. The club will start May 23rd and run until July 25th, with meetings from 6 to 8:30 p.m. every Monday in rural Northeast Macon County. The program address will be made available upon registration. Participants must be between the ages of 10 to 18 as of September 1st, 2015, in order to enroll. I wonder if that time, if that year is right. Don't have a shotgun? No problem. They have you covered. The cost to participate is $30 for 4-H members and $50 for non-members. Register by Thursday, May 19th, so that's a week from today, online at go.illinois.edu/DMP or by calling the Macon County Extension Office at 217-877-6042. Class size is limited, so register early. If you have questions or need information, please contact Becky Hugo at rhugo, all one word, at illinois.edu. University of Illinois Extension provides equal opportunities in programs and employment. If you need reasonable accommodation to participate in this program, call 217-877-6042. I turn now to letters to the editor to the editor Paul Osborne of the Decatur Tribune. Carries the headlines: City Councilman asks citizens to support legislation to ban dark tinted vehicle windows. And it is a letter signed by Patrick McDaniel of Decatur. Dear Editor, would any of us citizens have the courage to walk up to an unknown vehicle that had very dark tinted windows on all sides if the driver of that car had just sideswiped our car? But we expect our state and local law enforcement officers to do just that routinely, day in and day out, when they have to make general traffic stops or stops for expected criminal behavior. In our nation's present environment, our law enforcement officers have become targeted. Would it not be common sense to ban dark-tinted window vehicles in Illinois for the safety of our officers and the general public? Have any of you ever felt leery walking in a crosswalk when a vehicle approaches that had dark-tinted windows, and you could not see in the front window to see if the driver was on a cell phone or texting and might be distracted from stopping? How about when a state Amber Alert is sent out about a missing child, but citizens would be unable to spot the child in a vehicle that had dark-tinted windows? And that also goes for not being able to see a child left in a dark-tinted vehicle who needed help on a hot day. The law was changed by the Illinois General Assembly many years ago that allows light-colored tinted windows, but more and more citizens are abusing the law and have very dark-tinted car windows. Illinois State Senator Chapin Rose has drafted new legislation that would ban dark-tinted vehicle windows, but needs citizens' help and support to get his proposed legislation passed. Citizens and law enforcement officers should contact Senator Rose to offer their support and encouragement. Again, a letter to the editor of the Decatur Tribune, signed by Patrick McDaniel of Decatur. I turn back now to the local section of the Decatur Herald and Review and pick up some of the local briefs for communities in the Decatur area. Applications are being accepted for a vacancy on the Moreau Forsyth School Board after board member Jill Appleby resigned. Superintendent Mike Williams said the board will be accepting letters of interest in the position before May 26th. Applicants must reside in Moreau Township. A special meeting is scheduled for May 31st to interview and potentially appoint a replacement board member, Williams said. A ceremony will be held at 7 p.m. tonight at the Mount Pulaski Courthouse for the presentation of a $157,822 check for the cost of replacing and repairing the roof and roof structure of the courthouse. Construction is scheduled to begin on Monday, May 16th. And in Effingham, the St. Hildegard von Bingen Schola will present its spring concert at 4:30 p.m. Sunday, May 15th, in the St. Anthony Memorial Hospital Chapel. The choir, under the direction of Barbara Conrad, will sing the sacred music of the church's liturgical seasons of Lent, Easter, Pentecost, and Ordinary Time. The St. Hildegard von Bingen Schola is a small choir of girls ages 11 to 19. Who sing sacred music, most particularly Gregorian chant and a cappella choral compositions. Current Schola members are Libby Brandt, McKenna Grubb, Tierney Hammer, Elizabeth Cabs, Allison Sprawl, Carly Sprawl, Olivia Sprawl, McKenna Steinman, Steinman maybe, Cameron Voiles, Grace Walker, and Abby Zakari. And I think I've noticed, made note of this before. A Land of a Lincoln Honor flight will leave Abraham Lincoln Airport in Springfield on Tuesday, May 17th, for Washington, D.C. Aboard will be 80 military veterans, including from Argenta, Clinton, Decatur, Findlay, Hillsboro, Lincoln, Mattoon, Mount Pulaski, Mount Zion, Neoga, Shelbyville, and Sullivan. After the World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War vets visit war memorials and Arlington National Cemetery, the flight will return about 9:30 p.m. I know they want people for both the send-off and the welcome home. So make a note of it. Next Tuesday, May 17th, returning that evening about 9:30. If you can get out to the airport in Springfield, we recommend you do so. Okay, this has been Ruth McCauley reading with you today, Thursday, May 12th. It's been a pleasure as always. I hope you've enjoyed it too. I look forward to joining you again next week. Until that time, you all take care.